Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome as we come to worship today. So whether you're joining us for the first time in person or indeed online, we bid you a warm welcome here this morning. We hear some words from the book of Romans as we begin. It's Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So as we gather together today to sing his praise, to petition him with the burdens of our hearts, to hear his word read and proclaimed, and to have fellowship together, we pray that hope that we carry will be carried out from this place as we grow together. Let's pray in this moment. Father God, thank you that you are present with us. We thank you that in this space and at this time, your presence rests upon us as a congregation and as a community of faith. So in this place, as we set time aside to focus on you, we thank you. And we come with hearts that are filled with thankfulness, ready to bring your worship and our adoration and to receive from you what you would have for us this morning. In your name, amen. Can I invite Rodney to come and read God's word today?
The reading this morning is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, reading verses 23 to 31, and it's entitled The Believer's Prayer. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
As we begin a new series today called Courageous Prayer, you'll see that we're going to look at a character from Scripture, and his, if you like, very little but absolutely huge prayer. And the character's called Jabez, we'll hear a little bit later, you don't hear a lot about him. You don't find him in a lot of places. In fact, you only find him in one place in the whole of the Bible. So let's just pray as we begin. Father God, we want to thank you, as we've done already, that you're here, that your word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. And so we pray that by your Spirit, it would be your word that speaks into the depths of our hearts and our very being today, and not my words. In this place, may our hearts, our minds, and our souls be open to what you would have say to us today and what you would do amongst us. In your name we pray. Amen. Start with a question. Have you ever felt like crying out, shouting aloud? I would imagine you probably, there's lots of people going, yeah, I definitely have. I tend to find that happens in one, two places. And I think as we go through seasons in life, we will feel the urge to do that at different times and in different spaces. I suppose if I'm being honest and open today, the two places that I probably feel like crying out or shouting aloud. Most are either in the car, whenever all those other people in this room who can't drive are in front of me. Obviously, I'm driving perfectly, and they're not. My children don't listen. Not that I know you don't believe that ever happens. But those are kind of moments where you feel like shouting, like crying out, like just letting everything go, like all of the frustration that builds up. And sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Sometimes actually we allow the small things to kind of build and build and build to the point where they almost explode. And then it comes out in this kind of angry shout. Well, maybe it's just me. No, you're nodding your heads. Maybe that's just my experience of life. But often it kind of pressure builds up almost. And you feel then like shouting aloud, like crying out, because you feel there's nothing else humanly that can be done. And so you want to express it. And it's the only way to let it out. Well, sometimes the same is true with God. We find ourselves wanting to shout, wanting to cry out, wanting to cry aloud, to shout out, because we feel, for whatever reason, that whatever it is that is happening around us is unfair. Whatever is happening around us doesn't seem quite right. Whatever is happening around us doesn't seem to be answered by the prayers that we are petitioning and that we are making. We have tried, we have prayed, we have petitioned, we have got on our knees, we have wept, we have cried, we've done all those things, and yet it still seems as if we're in exactly the same place. And so there's a moment where we feel as if we just want to explode. But yet we feel as if we can't do that with God. We feel as if we need to take a step back, we need to almost be more polite with Him, that we can't let it rip, if you like, before Him. But yet, if you look at the pages of Scripture, all the way through them, there are moments whenever the characters of Scripture and the characters of God's big story honestly, openly, and without limits cry out to God. And for some reason, over a period of time in church history, we have tried to sanitize that, and that we can only petition God in a nice way, in a quiet way. This series that we're going to be looking at is around the character of Jabez. Now, as you all came in today, hopefully you received a little flyer with that's the entirety of the story of Jabez, what you got in your hands. If you didn't, make sure you get one on the way out. I'm going to read it to you. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. That's it. That's the entirety of the story of Jabez. Those two verses. But you only have the benefit of those two verses in front of you today. Let me read you some of the verses before it and some of the verses after it. These were the descendants of Hur, the firstborn of Ephra, the father of Bethlehem. Asher, the father of Tekorah, had two wives, Helena and Nara. Nara bore him Azahum, Helper, and Tehemiah, and Hazarah, and they were both descendants of Nara, the sons of Hela, Zerath, Soha, Ethan, and Skoz. And was the father of Anob and Hazabah and the clans of Azariah, son of Haram. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Caleb, Sehel's brother, and the father of Mirah, who was the father of Esdom. Esdon was the father of Beth, Rapha, and Pessa, and Tobiah, the father of Ur, Nasha, and these were the men of Ra- and so it continues. in the midst of one of those several chapters of genealogies, of just lists of names after names after names after names after names, comes Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And he cried out to God. There's something about Jabez that made the historians write and record his name, his story, his prayer. And that surely is worth sitting up and taking note of. So who was Jabez? Well, all that's really known about him is that he was a man who was called on God and received his request. If you Google it, that's what you'll probably get. If you look up I looked up loads of those books that sit in my study. I did use some of them for those in my house who say I never use those books. And that's the entirety of what you can find about Jabez. A man who called on God and received his request. There's loads of speculation around the narrative of pain. It says there his mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." That's a legacy of Eve's sinning, wasn't it? That she would give birth in pain. And so that's not unfamiliar. That's not uncommon. That's not a remarkable thing. But his name literally means pain. So his birth must have been exceptionally painful for his mother to look at him and go, "Pain." And every time she was calling him for his dinner, "Pain, come here." So this next few weeks, as we look at the title, Courageous Prayer, we want to ask the question, what does courageous prayer look like? Well, in the face of it, it's probably whenever we run out of our own words. We run out of our own strength. We run out of our own steam. We run out of our own actions. We run out of our own ideas. We run out of everything. So we're at the point of saying, "If you don't turn up, God, I'm done for. If you don't turn up in this situation, God, it'll be irredeemable for the rest of eternity. If God doesn't step in, then we don't have a chance," in other words. Now, the Bible is full of courageous prayers. Elijah, with the prophets of Baal, he taunting them to call on their god, Baal, to light the wood, and they couldn't do it. And to pour... Then whenever it came to Elijah's turn to call on the God of Israel, he poured water in the wood and then called on him, and the fire lit the wood. There's a courageous prayer in front of the whole of the nation. What about Noah and the flood? Whenever Noah turned and said, "I will do what you have asked me to do, God. Give me the strength to do it and show me what to do." This was a man who built an ark for a flood before rain had even been seen on the earth. Or like Paul in prison, whenever he prayed for his release, whenever he prayed for the people who were taunting him, tormenting him, and holding him captive. That's a bold prayer. And the list could go on. We could continue to recite and record lots of people in the scriptures who have courageous prayers. But probably not many of us would have recorded Jabez before we started this service today. And so as we consider what a courageous prayer is, as we consider what it means to pray courageously, as we consider what it means to lift our prayer life to a point where we are all in for God and asking God into all areas of our life, then the next question for me to ask is this. When was the last time you prayed a courageous prayer? Preachers included as he asks that question. I think sometimes we can just drift along in life. We can come complacent with the things around us. And we can allow the feeling that there is no answer to enable us not to ask anymore. When was the last time you prayed a courageous prayer, sought that God would change a situation, a community? We recited Psalm 125 together today. One of the Psalms of ascents that the nation of Israel would have recited and called out together as they walked up on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem every year. That was them passing on the faith to the next generation. That was them recounting the faithfulness of God in the past and asking Him to be present with them in the present and looking to the future. Now, if we'd have done Psalm 126 this morning, but it wasn't the one appointed for today, but if we'd have done Psalm 126, it says that we sowed in tears and we reap with joy. The Israelites said they sowed in tears. In other words, they cried, they wept before God for their situation, for their nation, for their people. They were so intensive in their prayer that teardrops left their eyes. As I prepared for today, as I prepared to ask and say that to you, I was ashamed to try to think about when the last time teardrops left my eyes as I prayed. Because if we want to pray a courageous prayer, if we want to see God present and transforming in this church, in this community, in our situations, then we need to be sowing in tears so that we can reap a harvest of joy. Because that's the next line of Psalm 126. They sowed the seeds in tears that they might reap a harvest of joy. In the passage that Rodney read for us from the book of Acts today prays a very bold and courageous prayer. This is the early church. These are the people who are charting a new way of faith. These are the people who are planting churches, who are saying Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He is risen and ascended, and He is true, and He can change things. They prayed a very, very bold prayer. Verse 29 says this, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant." This is the early church saying, "Jesus, we know that you can do this. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we know that you can do this. And so we want you to give us what we need, the Holy Spirit within us, to speak boldly and to see miracles happen." Okay. There's a courageously bold prayer. Have you not this week, each and every one of us, and prayed that prayer, expecting it to be answered? Because they prayed that prayer set in the context of the first verses that Rodney read, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. They reported to all the chief priests and the elders, and they said to them, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed ones." They said it in the context that God is sovereign. He is in control. He is the master of the heavens and the earth. And they needed him to step into their situation. And the same God, they prayed that the same God who stepped into their forefathers' situations would step into their situation. And so our prayers today is that the same God who stepped into the forefathers of Israel's generation and the early church's generation steps into our situation, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what happened whenever they prayed? Yeah, verse 31 says this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. God became present amongst them in a real and a tangible way. Whenever they invoked the power that is available to us today, God turned up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is more than simply praying for daily bread or a drink of water every day. That's life-changing in the normality of the everyday. Their situation didn't change. They still find themselves in the same place. They still find themselves talking to the same people. They still find themselves living in the same house. But things have been transformed. So whenever you come to boldly, courageously pray, as we look at this over the next few weeks, let's do that every single day. Let's set our hearts, our minds, our souls to do that. If you come in, you've got that little sheet. I'd love it if you took that home and you pinned it in your fridge, or you stuck it in your bathroom mirror, or you set it in your car, or you put it wherever it is that you know you'd have time to read it and pray it. And you set about praying that every single day. That you would read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, so that actually it becomes a part of our everyday conversation with God. So we begin to pray that prayer of Jabez for ourselves, so that we begin to pray, O Lord, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. So that as we journey through this over the next probably 5 weeks or so, that as we hear what each part of those prayer means, we learn exactly what it is that we are praying every day and what we're praying for. And we see that, because on the face of it, the prayer looks quite selfish. Oh Lord, that you would bless me, and that you're going to enlarge my territory, and that you're going to keep me from all harm, and that you're going to make me look really good. We begin to see that that's not what the prayer is really all about. That we see it is about a transforming power within us, so the community around us can be transformed as well. So we journey through these weeks. Let's commit that prayer to memory, our hearts, our souls, our lips, so we can courageously pray it in every situation. Let's pray together now. Father, thank you that you are present. We've used the word thank you so many times already in this service today. But we do that because our hearts are filled with thankfulness for what you have done for us. So as we begin to consider, to reflect, to ruminate, to pray courageously and boldly, and that's not that we don't already do those things, but as we set our faces into it to do it even more, Father God, we pray that by your Holy Spirit we would see your transformative power amongst us. We don't pray this lightly. We pray it boldly. Because we don't worship the God who is made of wood or stone, carved by human hands to sit on a mantelpiece today. We worship the God who is alive and well, and who is at work amongst his people and in his world. In the precious and beautiful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. As we finish, let's pray together. Oh, that you'd bless us and enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us, and that you'd keep us from harm, so we'd be free from pain. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.